Well, it's Monday, week six. Week six. A couple more weeks to go. We'll go over exactly what's going to happen, and we'll give you all the latest. We'll break down. There was a lot of fake news this weekend. We'll unfake it for you, get you the truth. Today, supposed to rain all day here in New York. It was a beautiful day on Saturday. Sunday, not so hot. Today, kind of rainy. Now, listen, if you're going to go into week six, you got to use this time. Be productive. That should be the thing. That's the theme for today. Make it a productive day. Get stuff done today. This will all be over in a little while, and you're going to be kicking yourself. You say, why didn't I get that done while I was stuck at home? Why didn't I get this taken care of? This stuff you want to do, get it done today. Joe Bartlett, how's everything down there?
I'm doing just fine down here. Getting stuff done.
Such as practicing putting.
My putting, absolutely, yes.
Hey, that's what we're talking about. Whatever it is, you want to learn how to play the piano, you want to learn how to play guitar, you want to learn French, you want to write a book, you want to clean out your closet, whatever it is, get it done today. As we always tell you, keep a list every day, not a to-do list, but like a little diary, a little journal. At the end of the day, write down what you accomplished. Write down what you've got done. If there's nothing at the end of the day, you didn't do a good job. Hey, listen, you got plenty of time. Use it. We got May 15th here in New York. That's what the governor keeps saying. And even then, when he says May 15th, it seems like he's only talking about upstate New York at first. You've got a couple of states that opened up on Friday, a couple more opening up today. This is the most important thing. These states opening up, and now we'll watch them for 2 weeks and see what happens. If 2 weeks from now, big outbreak, well, then that's going to delay opening here. But if after 2 weeks, not much of an outbreak, well, then maybe we can start opening up. It's risky, but you know what? Let Georgia go first. Somebody's got to try it. Doesn't have to be us, but let them try it. Hey, we got to unfake the news now. Couple of things. One is this. Did you watch the Sunday shows yesterday?
Some of it, yeah, a little bit.
The biggest issue in America is not people dying. It's not ventilators. It's the president's comment that maybe you could find some kind of a disinfectant that medical science could use inside the body, or maybe you could use ultraviolet light inside the body to cure the disease. This was the topic of Chuck Todd, Dr. Birx. All these guests were there to talk about important stuff having to do with coronavirus. Yet this is all they were asked. Deborah Birx at the end of the day complaining. This is absolutely ridiculous. Even she, who remains pretty diplomatic and neutral, really let the fake news have it, saying they got to start covering the news and stop with this. They got all excited because the president made what looked like a gaffe. And when a gaffe is made, you must go after it day and night. Now, you may be saying, but this Joe Biden makes 50 gaffes a week and they never mention it. Democratic immunity. It works. So here's the thing. I hate to break it to you, but medical science has been working on both things. Disinfectant in the body. There's an MIT study going on right now, but they've been working on it through the years. And apparently they do use disinfectant in the body in different ways in some therapies. There's a few diseases where they use it. Even chemotherapy uses a bit of that. And now, when you say the strange one was the ultraviolet light, how would you put ultraviolet light inside somebody's body?
Yeah.
Well, Cedars-Sinai is currently doing a study on it. Apparently it was done in the 40s and the 50s, use of ultraviolet light to cure a number of diseases. And the only reason medical science stopped working on a lot of that was the invention of antibiotics. But there's currently a Cedars-Sinai program there. In fact, we had the video up on the webpage. It shows you how, you know that tube they stick inside your artery to look at your arteries?
Yeah.
Apparently that's how they would do it. That thing goes in there into your lungs and uses the ultraviolet light. Now, there's this big website, Politico. It's a left-wing, Trump-hating website. So they went after me and everybody who tried to defend the president on this. And they said all these people were trying to defend the president, claiming there were studies. So Politico checked with Cedars-Sinai. Now, the idea of this Political article was to show this is ridiculous. So here's what Politico said. They checked with Cedars-Sinai. A spokesman for Cedars-Sinai said the technology was only in the preclinical phase. Well, doesn't that sound like they're doing it?
Yeah.
Doesn't it sound like there actually is a study? So bumbling Politico ended up confirming the whole thing. Now, here's the biggest fake news story. This, I think it was the Daily News that started this. Have you heard this fake news story? Because of the president's comments, the Department of Health is getting all sorts of calls about people ingesting household cleaning and bleach and all that.
Oh, yeah, People are doing this. Yes, right.
Yes, apparently the calls have spiked up from the same point last year. All right, well, I checked into that. The president's comments were when, Tuesday or Wednesday? The spike up in those calls began 4 or 5 weeks ago. That's the spike up. It's been all month. Now, why would there be a spike up all month as opposed to this point last year? Well, off the record, health department people say it's because everybody is at home and 1,000 times more people are using cleaning products right now than at this point last year. And when they say accidentally ingested, of course, nobody would drink it, but accidentally you swallow some. So the reason for the spike is that everybody is locked up and more people, thousands of times more people are using cleaning products right now. That's why. And even then it was only like a 20% spike from last year. So that's one of the most amazing fake news stories. And I hear people repeating this all morning, Rosanna Scotto, everybody repeating this morning, like it's true. Could you imagine? And I mean, listen, we know some dumb people, don't we?
Yeah.
Really dumb people. Can you imagine anybody watching that? And then going under the sink and getting the bleach out and starting to drink it.
You know, there are probably some people out there that might try it, but, you know.
I don't think so. It's not going to happen. So just a lot of this fake news floating around all week. I'm watching Amy Klobuchar. She's on with that evil George Stephanopoulos. We call him evil because he had coronavirus and didn't quarantine. He went walking around. He's walking around the streets of East Hampton, Southampton. He walked into White's Pharmacy, that little mom and pop shop, with his coronavirus. Now, can you imagine that? Walking, going shopping with coronavirus? Horrible guy, George Stephanopoulos. But Amy Klobuchar is on. She's talking about how, this is her exact quote. She said, the president telling people to chug bleach. To chug bleach. What he said, if you're watching the briefing, he said, maybe there's a way medical science could come up with something like that to use inside the body. He never told anybody to chug bleach. And of course, naturally, the evil George Stephanopoulos doesn't correct her in any way, doesn't say a word. Now, the result of this is the president is saying maybe no more briefings. Maybe they won't do it. There was no briefing yesterday. Was there a Saturday briefing? I don't think so.
Well, he didn't participate, no.
Yeah, so there might not be any more briefings.
Now, how's he get away? How's he get beyond this? Because he does look foolish. I mean, you know, he shouldn't have brought it up, but, you know, and it takes this kind of explanation, as it always does sometimes, to explain what he really meant was.
I don't know that most people saw it, and I don't know that most people thought that he actually told people to start drinking bleach. I don't think anybody thinks so.
I understood him, but if you hate him, you use that as, inject yourself with Clorox? Come on.
I don't think he said any. Well, let me see. What did he say here?
And then I see the disinfectant where it knocks it out in a minute, 1 minute. And is there a way we can do something like that by injection inside or almost a cleaning, because you see it gets on the lungs and it does a tremendous number of the lungs. So it'd be interesting to check that.
I don't know. It sounds pretty clear to me that he means, can we do it? I think he's looking at these medical people. I think he meant medical people do it.
Yeah, he's not saying just, you know, inject yourself with Clorox. If there were a way to use the components that are in Clorox and, you know, develop something so you can inject it, then, we could attack this thing a little better. That's what I think what he meant, but he's in a box now. I don't know how he gets out of this one.
Oh, he's out of it. It doesn't matter. But again, if they want, they'll just put out the MIT study. They're working on it right now. Other people and doctors have been telling me that I can't remember all the names. There's like 9 things they do that for. And they say that some chemotherapy, that's basically what that is. They're using some poisons in there to knock out your disease, injecting it into you. So. At some point you just put that, I don't know, it'll blow over. So if this is a problem, if you're saying to yourself, I can't have a president makes a gaffe like that. Well, I'm not going to have a gaffe president. I'll go for Joe Biden. That way I know there's not going to be any gaffes. Speaking of which, Joe Biden has an extremely serious allegation of sexual assault, not flirting, not Me Too flirting, actual sexual assault. If you read the accuser, and it's a pretty good accuser. She worked in the Senate. She worked with Biden. Besides the disgusting comments and the, you know, holding her, touching her, kissing her, she says that he slipped his fingers inside her pants and penetrated her. I mean, this is pretty serious stuff. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah. This is a sexual assault if there ever was one.
Yeah. This is a serious sexual assault allegation. And as you've seen all weekend, it was just the front page of everything. It was the cover of the New York Times. It was on Meet the Press. It was on George. I'm kidding. It was no coverage at all. Now, a lot of her friends came forward to say, yes, she told us about it at the time. So it's pretty serious, and there's a lot to back it up, including, and this is amazing, including the fact that her mother called in a week later on the Larry King show and brought it up. Isn't that pretty amazing?
Yeah.
Now, the clip existed of the Larry King show where he's taking calls. This woman is from St. Louis Obispo, California, and the caller is from St. Louis Obispo and tells the story about her daughter, asking what to do. What should they do? Should they go to the press? Should they go to the police? What should they do? And it's pretty obvious. So this is 1998 or whenever it is. Well, not only is there no coverage of this, but the media has begun the cover-up. This clip has been removed from every site they can get it removed from. Google even removed it. There's apparently some Google archive site where they have all the video audio clips. Google removed it over the weekend. Now, luckily, we have it. This is Larry King. Remember, he used to take phone calls on the TV show. This is the woman's mother, obviously, calling.
San Luis Obispo, California. Hello.
Yes, hello. I'm wondering what a staffer would do besides go to the press in Washington. My daughter has just left there after working for a prominent senator and could not get through with her problems at all. And the only thing she could have done was go to the press, and she chose not to do it out of respect for him.
Or she had a story to tell, but out of respect for the person she worked for, she didn't tell it.
That's true.
Wow. Larry should have gone into detective work, don't you think? Look how he got right and figured that out. In other words, she has a story to tell, but she didn't tell it. Yes, that's what I just said. So now I think Larry was shying away from that because Larry has been known as a bit of a grabbing people and kissing them kind of a guy. There's a couple of articles about that. What's the name of the it was a great Vanity Fair writer. She somehow ends up in his apartment. And this is back in the 70s. Remember they had those big glass coffee tables?
Yeah.
And Larry like somehow jumped off the couch over the table onto her.
Oof.
And she said, besides being horrified, she was so impressed with the athletic move of jumping over that table. She said, it was such a hard thing to do that obviously they had some practice at it. So, but what about this Biden allegation? Shouldn't this be looked at?
Yeah, just think if that same allegation were leveled against the president. You know what the argument is? Oh, well, Trump has 24. 24 women have accused him. Call us when you get 24.
Well, but the difference is, who's the nut who said it was in Bergdorf Goodman's women's store, where Donald Trump has never been in his life? Some nut said that.
Yeah.
That was the front page of every paper, front page of Vanity Fair, New York Magazine, front page of the New York Times. That was 97,000 segments on CNN. Mm-hmm. This is getting nothing, not anything. And the New York Times was like, we covered it. Yeah, they did one paragraph on page 111 and buried it just so they could say they had done it. It's terrible. Did you see Saturday Night Live, the Dr. Fauci sketch?
Yeah, it wasn't bad.
It was pretty good. They did a sketch about Fauci commenting on the crazy things the president has said. But, and I understand it's a left-wing biased show, but you could have easily made the sketch about the crazy things Fauci has said. You remember, Fauci has said the worst wrong things on this. If you go to the webpage, we have it up there. It's up on my Twitter. You can see it. There's a whole timeline of January. He's telling us, don't worry. This is nothing to worry about. It's not going to affect America. Then in February, he's telling people, don't worry. End of February, he said, no reason for us to change any of our behavior. It goes up. There's one on March 9th where he, in Forbes magazine, somebody asked about taking a cruise. He said, it's perfectly safe to take a cruise. This is March 9th. This is like de Blasio, March 12th, tweeting, everybody should go to the movies, go to Chinatown. So they were, you could easily do the sketch about how wrong they were. The double standard is exploding faster than the virus did a month ago. So anyway, we got lots to get to, lots to cover today. Michael Goodwin will be with us later this hour. We always love talking to Michael Goodwin. I was waiting for somebody to do it. I knew it was coming. It was pretty obvious, but it's been done and it's a good version of it. The new song, My Corona. Remember My Sharona? So, we got that up there. Hey, also, if you want to see, the stuff about their actual medical science studies, medical science is studying using ultraviolet light, using disinfectant. We got the details up on the webpage. Also, hey, do you remember how much Ed Koch hated Andrew Cuomo and his father?
Yeah. Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if you remember this. Watch Ed Koch tell the story of why he hates the Cuomos. We'll get to the Cuomos in a moment. It's all up on the webpage. Go to 710WOR.com/Mark. 710WOR.com/Mark. Well, there is a major scandal swirling around Governor Cuomo that he's trying to deflect it. We'll get to that in a few minutes with Michael Goodwin. Let's take some calls from our great audience. Let's go to Dave, Allentown, Pennsylvania. Dave, how you doing?
Morning, Mark. Hey, congratulations. Yes. Your video on the ultraviolet light treatment on your website has been taken down by YouTube.
Yeah, I noticed YouTube has pulled it down. It was Cedars-Sinai doing a study, and they showed how that light would get into the lungs.
You can get it from the original site.
It's still we'll replace it on the website. Yeah. fake news, having it pulled down. All right, well, thanks for calling. Let's go to Doug in Middlesex. Hey, Doug.
Yeah, Mark, good morning.
Yeah.
In reference to all of these people going back to work, why hasn't the question been asked of all of the essential workers who've been working all of these months, what percentage of them have died?
Well, very good question. Thanks for calling. I've been looking into that. Now, the best place to look are the supermarkets because they're packed. It's the one thing that's open. What gets more people coming and going right now than anything except a supermarket? So I've been checking with all the supermarket companies, owners. They're not having a problem. Supermarket chains that have a couple thousand employees, yeah, they got two or three that employees got coronavirus, but most likely they got it at home or on the subway, not in the city. But that's a very good point. No business right now has more traffic, more people in a day coming in and out than the supermarket, and there are no outbreaks. Now, remember, this is, of course, with everybody being careful. They're wearing masks, they're staying 6 feet apart, all that stuff, and they're washing their hands like crazy when they get out of there. But that's good to know. So if a supermarket can do that, and Home Depot is open, and Lowe's and Staples, those kind of things, and they're not having any problems, as long as people are careful, stay 6 feet away, wear their masks. So why not every store opening? Why not a clothing store? Why not a shoe store? Why not whatever? Let's go to Karen in Pittstown, New Jersey. Hey, Karen.
Yes, I wanted to say that I think that President Trump just misspoke and confused antiseptics with disinfectants, which is common. I went on healthline.com, and the difference between antiseptics and disinfectants is antiseptics you can use on can be applied to the body. Disinfectants, you have to use it on non-living surfaces. Well,
everybody knows what he meant. Well, thanks for calling.
Yeah, of course.
All right, thanks for calling. But you can't have a president who misspoke. You can't have a president makes gaffes. Well, what are you going to do, have a gaffe all the time? That's why you got to have a guy like Joe Biden, where you know there's never going to be a gaffe. Everything he says, crystal clear. Right on the money all the time. He may be grabbing your daughter. But anyway, let's go to Regina in Hawthorne. Hey, Regina.
Hi, Mark. Good morning. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. I'm calling about the staffer with Biden. Your timing is everything. You know, in 1993, if that staffer came out with a story about Biden, everyone would have laughed in her face. The only thing that gives that story credibility was a mother calling into Larry King.
Well, all right, thanks for calling. But also giving it credibility, apparently her friends say she discussed it with them at the time. And there are 50,000 pictures of Joe Biden grabbing, groping, sniffing, kissing the neck of all sorts of women of all ages. That's the funny thing about Biden. You see him doing it with 15-year-olds, with 85-year-olds. It is a little weird. Let's go to Vincent. Vincent, how you doing?
Good morning, Mark. Late last night, my girlfriend on my behalf received an email from one of my friends who works in the high fashion industry in Milan, and they're going back to work today. What they're doing is the factories that have no contact with the public are opening up today. On a semi-comical note, I actually know someone who, when they came from Italy 60 years ago, one of my apartments, drank Drano, and now we call the guy, instead of Paulie Walnuts, we call him Nicky Drano. I mean, he survived, but...
you have friends who've fed people some Drano, right?
And his moniker is actually Nicky Drano.
Yeah, all right. Hey, what is it with those nicknames? You know, I could see Maddie the Hammer. That's a pretty good one. But some of them, these stupid names.
I don't know. I guess it has to do with somebody making a committing a gaffe when they were younger or doing something stupid like drinking Drano and stuff like that.
I know, but like Tommy Two Times. That's a bad name to have to go through life with.
Yeah, Paulie Walnuts or...
Yeah.
There was a guy I knew a stick-up man about over 60 years ago. We used to call him Joe Fats because, and we used to say the sun shines east, the sun shines west, but Joe Fats Baldy shines the best. And he would chase us around the block. He was a stick-up man, but we used to give him a hard time because he was fat and he had, I don't know how he ran out of the store with the bed.
All right, Vincent, thanks for calling. Well, hey, when we come back, Michael Goodwin will be with us. This Governor Cuomo made what was probably the single biggest mistake of this whole crisis, sending those senior citizens with coronavirus back into their nursing homes. He's blaming the nursing homes, but it was his directive, his administration's order that they go back in. It infected and killed 3,500 senior citizens. Michael Goodwin wrote quite a column about it, and we'll talk to him next on 710 WOR. Let's get the latest news. Here's Joe Bartlett.
All righty, Mark. Mayor de Blasio says the city's going to close 40 miles of streets to create more room for pedestrians and bikers. The streets close to parks are going to be the priority. The goal is to close 100 miles of streets throughout the city. The mayor's also announced a new method of testing known as self-swab. He says it will be simpler and safer. Says patients can do the tests themselves with a little guidance from a healthcare worker. Governor Cuomo says construction and manufacturing businesses upstate could reopen by May the 15th. He says the state is going to reopen in phases. Downstate, of course, lagging behind because of the severity of the outbreak here. And Governor Murphy outlines a blueprint today for New Jersey to reopen. It involves the state hitting several key benchmarks. Murphy admits it's still several weeks away. Next update at 11, breaking news at 1. Start your day with Len Berman and Michael Riedel in the morning, 6 to 10 tomorrow. I'm Joe Bartlett on 710 WOR.
The clouds are going to stick around through the afternoon. A slight chance of a sprinkle or a shower with 50 our high today. A few clouds tonight as our lows drop to 40. Sunny, warmer tomorrow with a high 65, and clouds return at midweek with a high 55. Rain showers return Wednesday night and the potential for some heavy rain on Thursday. Thursday's high 60. Cloudy this hour, 43 at WOR.
Good day, everyone. I'm Ron Ansana. On Wall Street, stocks are moving higher today. The NASDAQ taking the lead up as technology stocks provide market impetus once again to the upside amid some signs that countries and states in the U.S. are beginning to open their economies back up. The Federal Reserve and other central banks are continuing to provide liquidity and assistance to weakened economies, and we're starting to see some improvement in the rate of coronavirus infections, and that too has the markets around the world trading higher. In Asia, up as the Central Bank of Japan did some more to stimulate their economy. Europe up about 2%. Dow's up about 120 points, but the NASDAQ leading. The flip side, though, is oil continues to crash. It is down another $4 on the day at $12.50 and change. That's about a 25% decline for the session. Oil continues to be in excess supply with no place to store the overage. As for other indicators, we have 10-year note yield holding at about 0.6%. The dollar's a little weaker against key foreign currencies. We have another look at first quarter GDP coming up, the Fed's decision on interest rates Wednesday, and a host of earnings reports due out this week, which will include Apple, Microsoft, and a host of other big cap tech names. I'm Ron Ansana for New York 710 WOR.
Well, we're going to talk to Michael Goodwin in just a moment. There's a big story that's being hushed up by the media because it's Governor Cuomo and he has Democratic immunity. But people in nursing homes that got sick, they'd go to the hospital, test positive for coronavirus. And then there was a state order, Cuomo administration, New York State Department of Health, March 25th directive, ordering the homes to take those patients back into the nursing homes with the coronavirus. Now, nursing home is not like a hospital. They don't have adequate protection against all that stuff. They're not set up to control a massive infection in their place. So they took them back in. They were ordered to. And as a result, coronavirus spread through the nursing homes. 3,500 senior citizens died as a result here in New York City. In fact, 25% of the deaths in New York City were these senior citizens in the nursing homes. Now, this is Andrew Cuomo. Media loves him, Democrat, so they hush this up. Occasionally at the briefing, he'll get asked a question, and he'll give an answer that is basically deflecting. He'll blame the nursing homes. Well, if they couldn't handle it, they should have told us. They should have said something. Well, nursing home directors are all saying, we tried. We didn't want to. We shouldn't have had these patients sent back to us. They're all complaining about it. The governor blaming them, and then the governor then saying, I'm going to launch an investigation into this. Remember when there was terrible corruption upstate? I'm going to launch an investigation into this. The Moreland Commission, not much came of that. So it's the same thing here. You launch an investigation to look like you're on the other side when actually it was his administration that ordered those COVID-19 patients back into the nursing homes. It's a horrible scandal. If it weren't a Democrat, this would be front page news everywhere. They'd never let up on this, but it's a Democrat. Now, the best column on this was written by Michael Goodwin. It's in yesterday's New York Post. You got to read it. It's a blockbuster, and he's on the line with us now. Michael Goodwin, how you doing?
Good morning, Mark. Thank you.
Can you imagine if this were a Republican governor? What would happen?
Well, I have to break the bad news to Democrats that I think that New Jersey followed exactly the same policy as New York in terms of requiring nursing homes and rehabilitation centers to take coronavirus patients. And it's no surprise that New Jersey, as I understand it today, has the second highest death totals in the country. Look, you cannot look at this policy, Mark, and think there's anything smart about it. You take the most vulnerable population we have, people in nursing homes and rehab centers. You know, it's not just that they're old. It's that many of them, almost all of them, have some other health condition, serious health conditions. So they are, everybody knows that this makes you the most vulnerable to the coronavirus. And then to protect those people, you don't let in their families, right? They have not seen their families since these shutdowns. Visitors are all screened before they come in. A lot of people have their temperatures taken in the lobby. So you do all of those things to protect these people. And then you require, you demand those facilities take sick patients, even if they don't have room for them, if they don't have separate spaces, if they don't have enough staff or enough equipment. Governor Cuomo now says, well, if they couldn't handle somebody, they should have let us know. The directive says you have no options. The directive says you must take, and they make it a case of discrimination not to. They say, almost echoing civil rights laws, that you cannot deny them admission solely on the basis of their being positive for the coronavirus. That's like a discrimination case. And it's insane. Now, I understand that when these orders were passed, March 25th in New York, March 31st in New Jersey, the aim was to take the pressure off the hospital. And normally when people leave hospitals, they go to nursing homes or rehabilitation centers. And I think it's important to understand, Mark, that these places are not just permanent residences, although they have many of those people.
Yeah.
But they also are kind of halfway houses. People are stable, meaning the insurance company doesn't want them in the hospital, basically, but they can't go home. They have to go somewhere else to recuperate. And so that is what the nursing home and rehab centers have become. You have a knee replaced, you may go to the nursing or rehab center for, you know, a week or 10 days. You have a heart attack, you may go for 10 or 20 days. But the point is, you go somewhere else out of the hospital. The problem in this case is those people you sent to the rehab centers were still infected with the coronavirus, meaning they were still contagious. And so you sent the disease into these places. And I think when we're done with all this, we're going to see that the humongous death totals, something like 40% in New Jersey, about a quarter in New York, the quarter of all the deaths in New York, 40% of all the deaths in New Jersey happened in nursing homes and rehab centers. And I think that we cannot know exactly how many died because of these orders, but we can say for certain the number is not zero, because the executives and the owners of these places, some of the staff people, are now beginning to point the finger at the governors and the state departments of health in New York and New Jersey for this order leading to the deaths of residents in these places. I mean, this is something that has to be accounted for.
Well, now he's covering up and he's saying it's their fault. I'll investigate them. But what if one of the families or a bunch of the families go into court and sue? That could bring out all the facts. Like, why didn't you use the Javits Center? Why didn't you use the Comfort? Wouldn't a lawsuit reveal everything?
I think if it were not thrown out, and I think that if you're right that enough people do this, I think we will get to the bottom of it. I think that there will be some process at some point that resolves this. But Mark, I've gotten so many letters, emails from people about this. It's heartbreaking. I mean, they could not see their loved ones. And someone wrote to me just today about New Jersey that, you know, one of the things that we all do when we have family in these situations is you become their advocate, right? You go in one day and maybe a staff person was in a rush and didn't clean the floor or left a tray of food there for 2 hours or something like that. Without the families have lost that. They've lost that ability to go in and comfort their loved one, but also to advocate for them. And so nobody was advocating for these people. They died. They died with nobody around them that they know. I mean, they were essentially, you know, the last person they saw may have been the porter or somebody going by the doorway. I mean, it's heartbreaking when you hear and read these stories. And this is because out of safety, abundance of caution, they kept the families out. But then the same people sent the sick people in. Does that make any sense in the world?
No, and you watch these briefings where all the governor gets one little softball question about it, and that's it. Where's the media on this? Well, we know where they are on this.
Well, no, I have to say, in defense of the New York Post, the Albany reporter for the New York Post, Bernadette Hogan, has done a terrific job. As soon as she got wind of this, she has been very persistent with the governor, but she is a lone wolf in this regard.
Well, that is terrible. Well, it's a powerful column. If you missed it, it's Michael Goodwin's column, Sunday's New York Post. You can still see it online. And have you heard from the administration about this? Have they offered you any explanation?
No, we don't speak.
Oh, that in itself is a statement that they offered no explanation. But
they'll put out a press release attacking me, but that's their way of communicating.
Yeah, well, read the column. It's got all the whole story in there. Michael Goodwin, the best columnist in America, every Sunday, every Wednesday in the New York Post. Michael Goodwin, thanks for being with us.
My pleasure, Mark. Thank you.
Take care. Unbelievable. Hey, check out the webpage. We got a lot of good stuff up there. There's the new hit song, My Corona. Yeah, somebody finally had to do it. It's My Sharona's My Corona. Now, why did Ed Koch hate Andrew Cuomo so much? Oh, and his father too. Watch this. Here's the explanation. And the president wasn't so crazy about using disinfectant or ultraviolet light inside the body. Apparently, medical science has been working on it. There's a few studies. Take a look at the webpage. It's all up there. Go to 710WOR.com/Mark. 710WOR.com/Mark. Well, we got lots to get to in the next hour. People are starting to open up. China opening up. Italy gradually beginning to reopen. Israel's been pretty interesting on this. We'll take a look at that coming up in the next hour. In the end, it says coronavirus could cost New York State $243 billion. Is that possible? Well, that's in the lost business and all that. The state will have to slash costs by 10%. That could mean $10 billion reduction in spending for schools, healthcare, transit. Now, you know what this could mean. You're not going to see these beautiful, shining subways clean as a whistle anymore. Those potholes that are filled instantly, that might change. It might be a little different. how could you cut surfaces any? How could you make things any worse? The subways are an absolute disaster. Hey, it's the 50th birthday of the First Lady, Melania Trump, 50 years old today. I found a picture. It's up on my Instagram. It's one of the first dates ever that Melania and Donald Trump had. It's October of 98. And I'm there. I'm like the chaperone, but it's up on my Instagram. Mark Simone NYC at Instagram. Pretty good picture. The most beautiful photogenic First Lady ever. And the first First Lady that's never on any magazine cover, never on the cover of anything. Remember Michelle Obama, who didn't look so hot, just looked like a nice, normal person. Cover of everything. Melania, beautiful model, cover of nothing. First immigrant First Lady of our lifetime. Nothing. No coverage. Anyway, lots to get to in the next hour. Don't forget, Rush will be here at noon, noon to 3, and then Sean Hannity, 3 to 6. These are great programs right now during this crisis to give you everything you need. And also Buck Sexton, of course, at 6 o'clock. I'm here every day, 10 to noon. We'll keep you company. We'll keep you informed. Back after the news on 710 WOR.